our response to the COVID-19 crisis. I'm Mark Ramey, Chairman of the Marion County Board of Supervisors. I'm joined by with Kim Dorn, Director of Marion County Public Health. Kim, how are you doing today? It's Friday.
Yay, it's Friday.
That's right. That's right. Well, again, we want to thank everybody for joining us. I think we're working out the Facebook Live issues right now. We've got a little connection problem, but Nathan from KNI is working on that. We have been communicating to everybody during the course of this crisis about the 30 days to slow the spread. You know, that message really ran through April 30th. And we are now, and especially with the governor's proclamation earlier this week, we are now in a reopening phase where Marion County is one of the 77 counties that is having a limited reopening of certain businesses, reduced capacity, different ways of structuring the business. Any information that you need as a resident or as a business is on www.coronavirusiowa.gov. If you go out to that site, you'll see the governor's proclamation. You'll be able to read about businesses that are open, businesses that are still closed. She'll probably revisit that coming up here in mid-May as to will there be any changes to that. But now that we're in a reopening phase, I think it's even more important for us to still consider the behaviors, the hand washing, the social distancing, those things that we have talked about every time we've met. Kim, those things are still very important, correct? Probably even
more important now. We've always talked like they were important, but now I think it's even more important because as we start to open up, people are going to get out more and interact a little bit more. So, you know, keeping in mind that social distancing and touch points and hand washing is really going to be important.
Right. So when you think about, don't touch your face a lot.
Right.
Wear a mask if you feel comfortable wearing a mask.
Correct.
Maintain proper social distancing. You know, in restaurants right now, you can't have more than six people at a table. You've got to have your tables 6 feet apart. I mean, there's all these different kinds of things that we have to start doing now. Don't travel excessively if you don't need to, but I know that travel restrictions are being relaxed, especially domestically. We're doing that for Marion County employees. We're saying if you want to travel domestically now, you can. Other states are opening up as well. Kim, as we think about the counties around us, though, Marion County, we have been our residents, our businesses, as we've said, our churches and nonprofits. Everybody has participated in slowing the spread. They've done what the federal government has asked, what the governor has asked, what we've asked them to do.
Right.
And we've got a very low case count. So maybe give them an update on the numbers, and then let's talk about what this reopening means, especially with the counties around us.
Okay. Well, you probably noticed that on the state's website, it shows that we have 10 confirmed cases today. We are tracking a little bit higher than that. We have a total number of confirmed cases of 11. So there's just a little bit of a lag still in the data. So of those 11, seven have recovered and four are active.
Right.
And so we're following those four, and they're isolated. Their contacts have been notified, and they're quarantining, but it's the regular process still.
Right. So even with a reopening, we are still having cases. We're still doing our contact tracing. We're doing everything else, everything that we've done from a process standpoint that we were doing during the 30 days to slow the spread.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's think about this just for a minute. We've got counties around us. Everybody has been if you've been keeping up on this at all, you know Polk County has a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
The cases in Jasper County have increased.
Right.
Now with Marion County being more of an open county, those counties are still closed. 77 Iowa counties were allowed to open. Marion's one of those.
Yeah.
The remainder are still in a closed state in terms of their restaurants and social gatherings, etc. We have to be really aware that we're going to have a lot of visitors. We've already seen that in Pella. People have been coming to watch the tulips, and they've been coming from out of county. We can't wall off Marion County. If Don DeWard were here, he would tell you we can't wall off the city of Pella. Well, we can't do that with Marion County either. But it's the behaviors that will help us keep those numbers down, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the social distancing is really an important piece to that. And if you notice when you see the crowds in Pella watching, you know, looking at the tulips and going into the businesses that are open, you know, they've got floor markings of 6 feet, and so it's really important that everybody pay attention to those and respect those floor markers, and that results in some really long lines, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. Just do it anyway.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, Kim. I think the expectations of the public as they start to re-enter these businesses, uh-huh, it isn't going to be like it was before.
Right.
We are going to have probably a fairly lengthy period where restrictions will gradually be relaxed over time, but that's going to be probably longer waits. You've seen some of the restaurants not open.
Yep.
They've just decided it's not worth it, even with the 50% capacity limit. Businesses have been shut down for long periods of time. There's definitely cash flow issues that they're wrestling with.
Sure.
I know this just from personal experience. We need to be aware that as restaurants try to wrestle with these new rules, the customer needs to be aware of that as well, and the social distancing becomes very critical in that process.
It does. It does. And also, as we open and we have more people coming in and that, you know, it's really important that we do those behaviors that prevent social distancing, washing hands, covering coughs, those kinds of things. But it's also, I think it's more important now than ever that we continue to monitor our own health. Mm-hmm. and you know, take your temperature. Do you have a fever? And I've been encouraging people to just do that every morning anyway. Just take your temperature. It doesn't take very long. If you've got a fever, stay home. You know, if you've got a cough, a dry cough, and certainly if you're short of breath, we really need you to be staying home. And if you're short of breath, you need to be calling your doctor, too.
Right, right. Yes, definitely be calling your healthcare provider
right.
on these issues.
Yeah.
We know that many of the businesses, like I said before, have decided to delay their opening, even though they have the ability to do so. We know that many of the churches in Marion County have decided to delay their return to meetings, regular meeting times. They're still going to do it via internet, YouTube, etc. I think there's still a concern in the county about this virus. It's a well-placed concern. If Kevin Kincaid were here, he'd say we're not afraid of it, but we respect it. I think that's a great line we need to keep reiterating to all of us as we go through this process and through this crisis. But as we reopen, we really need to take these behaviors into account. Continue to wash our hands regularly. Don't think it's just done and over.
Right. These behaviors are in for the long haul.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. A couple other things before we get to, we've got several guests joining us via Zoom. As I said, Marion County has relaxed travel guidelines for its employees. If an employee travels personally, they can do that domestically. We were doing self-quarantine rules, but now that other states are opening up, now that the governor is opening up Iowa, we're not going to enforce those. We're going to rely, just as we would with our individual residents, that employees will exercise appropriate responsibility, realize this is still going on, and that we don't have to take the same kind of measures we did before. Our courthouse, we're attempting to do a soft open. I know Michaela is working on that with the driver's license station, and we'll give an update next week on that process. So I'd like to right now invite Kevin Stitsworth from Knoxville Hospitals and Clinic to give us an update. Kevin, are you on?
I am. Thanks, Mark.
You bet. You bet. Thanks for joining us. And tell us what's going on. You've got elective surgeries. The governor's allowed that now. I'm sure you've got other things to talk about. So the floor
yeah,
is yours.
We do have quite a bit to cover here yet. But I'll be brief. As you mentioned, the governor's proclamation has allowed that non-essential surgeries and procedures can start beginning to happen. So we're looking at our processes to resume surgeries for non-essential surgeries on Monday. There's a lot that goes into these decisions. The patients, of course, need to meet certain screening criteria, but it's also for those patients whose health may be just negatively impacted if their surgery was delayed any further. So we're very, I guess, excited that we're able to be able to help take care of our patients in that regard. But, you know, our administration and our physicians, we've got a task force that is just daily and weekly looking at things in the sense of our hospital supply of available PPE, our inpatient rooms, our healthcare staff and resources to verify that resuming additional procedures won't impact the ability for us to care for patients affected by COVID. So we're definitely making sure that we're able to care for our community, but also care for those who have just been waiting for their surgeries.
Okay.
And so I guess with that, as we're opening up our service lines, we do have some extra safety and screening procedures I'd just like to go over and as well as just share some reminders.
You bet.
Beginning effective, you know, pretty much immediately, we are asking and encouraging all patients and visitors over the age of 2 to wear a homemade mask or some kind of face covering when they visit the hospital and any of our locations. So we will provide those as we have those supplies. We are accepting homemade face masks from anyone who's got the ability to produce those. We found there's a certain style. We'll accept all styles, but there's a certain style that has really worked very well for us, and it's called the Olsen style. And we do have on our website, a pattern for the Olsen style. So you can go to our Facebook page, our Instagram, or even to our website, and all this information that I'm sharing today is out there on our website. So you can find that information on social media or our website. In addition, I just want to remind that we do have restrictions in place for visitors. So we're not allowing visitors in the building except for surgery, hospice, pediatric, and critical emergency situations. And with that, we're just asking for one person in these select situations to be allowed with the patient.
Okay.
And then one other thing I'd just like to share is we do continue to screen individuals as they enter campus. We do have one entrance open, and that is our emergency entrance off Howard Street. And we'll screen you. And if you present with the following symptoms, you know, the fevers, the cold, flu, cough, nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea, we'll direct you to go to our Bell Avenue Clinic just for further evaluation. We just want to make sure that you're healthy and you're taken care of. And we're encouraging our patients to always just, you know, as we're opening our service lines, we're welcoming them to just make an appointment with their healthcare provider. We do have on-site visits, or if you're not comfortable with that, we are offering our mobile express care virtually. So, if you are feeling like the symptoms I was talking about in regards to the respiratory symptoms, we'll screen that over the phone before we bring you onto campus. And you may be directed to Bell Avenue if you have some of those respiratory kind of ailments. So just some reminders, like I said, that's out on our website. It's also on our social media at Knoxville Hospital on Facebook and on Instagram.
Okay, very good, Kevin. And again, that style of mask that you prefer is called the Olsen style. Did I hear that right?
Correct. Olsen. Olson. And we do have that pattern on our website. It's just one of those that, again, we're accepting all kinds of masks. If maybe you're not as proficient in being able to sew this kind of mask. So we're accepting all kinds, but we're, this Olsen style just basically covers the nose really well and the mouth, and it's just got that extra material that allows us to just, you know, it's a little bit more comfortable and it's a lot more protection.
Okay. Okay, very good. And that, again, is on your website. We'll post a link to that on our joint information page as well. So, Kevin, anything else?
No, I think I shared quite a bit. So I appreciate the time and again, for you guys just keeping us connected from week to week.
Well, thanks, Kevin. I sure appreciate you joining us and all you folks are doing at Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. So thank you very much. Next, Bob Cruz from Pella Regional Health Center to give us an update from his location. Bob, can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can. Thank you very much.
Bob, what's, again, you've got surgeries, you've got changes in process, and so what's going on over in your world?
Well, and I've been carefully listening to all your comments, yours and Kim's and then Kevin's, and I just want to echo just the importance of what Kim said that I think is actually going to be true. You know, as we open things up, if we want to make sure that we can keep things open or gradually even open them up more, we just have to remember that there's going to be certain things until we have a great vaccine and better testing that we are going to have to continue to really maintain great social distancing, wearing masks, good technique, and we just can't let down on that. And I think people in the area here have been really very, very, very good, and I just want to say that we really appreciate that and that, but we're just going to have to make that kind of our new style of living if we want to continue to move forward and opening things up. But to Kevin's comments, many of what he said, I won't bore the public with repeating it because he said it very well, but we have worked very diligently throughout the week and are judiciously opening up elective surgeries and procedures. And as Kevin said, we have a committee that's being very careful to maintain exactly what the governor, or as close to as possible, what the governor has set forward, and making sure things like always being careful to have adequate PPE. That continues to be something that's our responsibility to monitor very closely, making sure that we always have capacity of beds in the event of a number of new COVID-19 patients, that we have adequate PPE. So that's a big deal, that we have adequate space and beds up for them. That's also very, very critical. And that we have our staff ready for that as well. So we spent a lot of time this week doing the very same thing at Knoxville. In fact, I talked with my colleague Kevin Kincaid. We're trying to be as consistent in the county as possible. And listening to Kevin just a few minutes ago, it's evident we are trying to really follow Governor Reynolds' proclamation and intent. But we always remind the public that no two cases are ever quite the same. And so that the physician that's involved in the case and the surgeon or whatever will take each case on its own merits, and that we aren't trying to overtax the system, but that we want to try get people that need to receive their care, you know, getting the type of care now that they need as far as elective surgeries and procedures. So that's a good thing. And then the other thing, and this is also redundant, but I think it really bears repeating, for everyone's safety, we are encouraging everyone over the age of 2 to wear a fabric or homemade mask to every one of their appointments. We found it makes the other patients nervous to see folks that aren't. And so I just can't emphasize that point that's been brought up numerous times, how important it is for folks to come to their appointments. We want them to be here. We want to serve them. But please, if at all possible, have a mask. If you absolutely don't have one, we will try to do whatever we can to provide one for your use during the visit. So, and again, I really appreciate him talking about the websites with the type of mask. I think we have them available on our website too, but more information out there, the better. And anyone that feels like, I wonder if we need more face masks, I'd really like to help out, but I wonder if they need them. The answer is yes, we do. And I'm sure Kevin, would say the very same thing. So, you know, getting more homemade masks is just a wonderful ministry for people to help us out. So I really want to encourage that. And again, too, for those that are still feeling uncertain about coming in, you know, we want to reassure you that we're doing everything to keep our whole organization safe, but that we do have the virtual visits. And I think both organizations in the county are providing those. So just keeping that out there for folks that still might be more comfortable to do it virtually, now that's always an option for folks as well. So that kind of concludes what I wanted to bring up today.
Well, Bob, I sure appreciate it. And I want to reiterate a point you just made, because I think it's so critical, and that is we don't want to reclose our county. And
that'd be tragic. I think we've all.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead, Bob.
No, I think we're all just so anxious to resume normal, and I think normal is going to have some changes to it than what we've had prior to this. But you know, if we're trying to be as compliant as possible, I think things will gradually open up quicker. If we don't, and we fall back into habits we had previously, we could really regret it. So I think we just have to encourage one another wherever we can to stay the course and keep doing what we were doing.
That's a great point, Bob. Well, thank you for the update. Appreciate you joining us this afternoon.
And you guys keep up the great work, too. These updates are, I think, really critical. So thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it, Bob. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Yep.
All right. I think Bob raises such a good point. You know, again, we've been allowed to open up. We've had a low number of cases. Our folks have done a fantastic job across the county. We need to continue to do that. We're going to see the numbers go up.
Yeah.
But we know that. It we've got counties around us that have lots of cases. We've got travel in and out of our county now. The weather is nicer.
Mm-hmm.
People want to get outside. They want to go to restaurants. They want to do some things. So these disciplines that we've been talking about are so critical right now.
Yeah. And it is important for people to do the things that they can do, mm-hmm. and do them safely so that they don't feel cooped up.
Right.
For example, pick up a meal at a restaurant and go to the park and do some social distancing with some friends. You can sit at a picnic table and be socially distanced,
mm-hmm.
and enjoy their company and enjoy restaurant food and not be at risk of passing the COVID.
Right.
So do the things you can.
Right. Absolutely. Next, Jake Grandia, Marion County Auditor, will join us and give us an election update. Jake?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for joining us. Good to see you, pal. Hey, what do we got?
Good to be here. Thanks.
What do we got for elections?
Well, we just kind of wanted to continue the dialogue and conversation about the upcoming primary election on June 2, and just highlight a couple things, if that's all right. Everybody's been kind of talking about the new normal, and we're working on that as well from an election standpoint. So most people, any of the registered voters in the county probably will have received this week the mailing from the Iowa Secretary of State regarding with the absentee ballot request forms. So those hit the mailboxes this week. And we just wanted to encourage people, if they wanted to participate in the primary election from home, to fill those out and turn those into our office. We are receiving them. The mail grew dramatically today, and that was good to see. So a lot of people are taking advantage of that, and we would just want to encourage people to return those if they want to vote absentee in the June 2 primary. A couple things regarding that, of the main questions that we're receiving that I just wanted to get out there is, the form dictated from the state that it is like a postcard return where you write your information on one side and then put it into the mail. So if people are uncomfortable with that, there is nothing wrong with folding that up and putting it inside of an envelope to our address here. You can use the address of 214 East Main that's on the form and returning those in that manner. So there's nothing wrong. And if they would like to, just go ahead and put it in an envelope and send it off to us if they don't want to use the postcard manner. And the other thing that is important we have to remember is this is a primary election. So there's, in essence, two elections going on, one for the Republican Party and one for the Democrat, to get the candidates for the fall. So on the absentee ballot request form, they do need to pick which ballot they would like to receive from which party. So those are the two main questions that we're receiving, and we just wanted to try and provide that information out there now. So from the standpoint of that, from our absentee in the mail, those are those things. The other thing is when the state decided to continue with the primary on a scheduled date, that included in-person voting starting May 4. So we are prepared to do that. We are going to be doing that from our office here at the East Courthouse at 614 East Washington. Still encouraging people to vote and use their absentee ballot requests if possible. But if they need to come vote in person, we are beginning that here on May 4. And individuals will have to use the west door of our facility here at 614 East Washington. And that would be the only access to the building would be for absentee purposes for us, and that would be the only reason from our standpoint that they would be coming in to do that absentee voting for us. They would not have access to the rest of the building.
Okay.
So we just wanted to put that out there, and we are still working on in-person voting for Election Day. We're going to be combining down from the 17 precincts to 5. We're trying to hit each corner of the county. And we were providing more information on that, and it will be precinct specific, but we need to limit that, and we will be maintaining all the social distancing and all those processes, and we'll be doing that here at the courthouse as well. And everything that everybody's been talking about, from barriers and maintaining distance and sanitizers and those things, will be required here as well. So that's kind of the main highlights of our update for the June 2 primary for this week.
Well, Jake, I sure appreciate that. And again, I'm going to reiterate a point that you raised because it's such a good one. For folks coming to our East Elementary site or temporary location, or frankly, for when we have the general election, I mean, we'll still have social distancing requirements, and we're going to be set up to do that. We ask for the public's indulgence when you do come to our courthouse or temporary location for now at East Elementary here in Knoxville. That we are trying to control traffic flows, number of people. We're trying to put up plexiglass in some of the offices now to limit the spread and provide protection both for the public and for our employees. And we feel that that is very important as we try to open the courthouse up again to public traffic. And so, Jake, I appreciate what you and your folks and the other folks over at East are doing to make the courthouse accessible again.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks. We're each day is a new day, and it's fun to go along on this process, if that can be a word used, because if you like change, that's what it's been. So we're working towards it, and Monday's coming, so we're going to be ready.
All right. Jake, thanks a lot. Appreciate the update. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
You bet. You guys have a good weekend.
All right, you too, bud. Thank you. Next, I'd like to invite Brian Hatch, Mayor of the City of Knoxville, to join us via Zoom. Brian, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Thanks, Mark.
Great, great.
In light of the In light of the proclamation that the governor signed into effect this week, I wanted to give an update to the citizens of Knoxville on the status of our facilities. In an effort to keep our employees and the residents of Knoxville safe, our facilities will remain closed to the public until further notice. Our staff is available and ready to help if you need assistance through phone or email. Our library, however, is now offering curbside pickup. We ask that you visit our library website to reserve materials and set up a pickup time. We will continue to closely monitor this ever-changing situation, and we will reopen facilities when the time is right. For those in the community that may be at a high risk or need assistance during this social distancing time, we urge you to contact our Neighbor Helping Neighbor program for assistance. That phone number is 641-820-0679. With the health and safety of our community being our top priority, we will continue to monitor the situation and update the community with any changes in our facilities and our services. Thank you for your patience and cooperation, and thank you, Mark, for your time today.
Great. I appreciate the update, Brian. Thank you very much. All right. Well, in closing, as we wrap up, a couple of, programming notes. We will, next week, we'll continue with these updates as we continue to reopen Marion County, and we watch nationally as places begin to reopen. There will be impacts to that. We'll be talking about case counts. We'll be talking about the status of where we're at in terms of that process of reopening. Really want to reiterate a point that Bob raised, and that is the behaviors that we've been talking about. It was critical back when we were trying to mitigate and slow the spread and flatten the curve. It's even as critical now because we want to continue to open up Marion County and let our businesses get back to some kind of normal process, let our folks get out and start enjoying all that Marion County has to offer, let our churches begin to start meeting again. But we'll start having these updates on Tuesdays and Fridays at the same time. So we've been on a Monday-Friday schedule, but now we're going to go to a Tuesday-Friday schedule. The Board of Supervisors will be meeting next week on Tuesday and Thursday, so our weekly rolling meetings are going to be scaled back as well. So that'll be our update, and we'll change or provide an update on that schedule next week if there are any changes. So, Kim, is there anything else you want to add before we wrap up for today?
I don't think so. Just keep social distancing. Keep doing the behaviors.
Yeah.
And enjoy the nice weather.
Absolutely. Everybody have a good weekend, and we will see you next week. Thank you.
That concludes a KNIA KRLS breaking news program, a Marion County Board of Supervisors COVID-19 press conference. The one to count on for today's news and information and COVID-19 updates is KNIA KRLS.